From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes States, over the world, wildmichiganradio.com. Very happy to have you here, 2021, and we shall never speak of 2020 ever again. we were going to have to. I mean, it's there. History is not there for you to like or dislike, okay? It's there for you to learn from. And then if you don't like it, if it offends you, move on. Don't do it again. Plain and simple. But we're going to try our best to do what we can to make 2021 enjoyable for everybody. We thank each and every one of you throughout the now into 15 years of doing this show for being a part of it, for being a part of this family, and for keeping us on the air on the podcast as well. And thanks to some great people that sponsor the show, our friends at Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and Not Just Guns. We spoke to Mike Green of Not Just Guns in the very first hour of the show. And I wanted to remind you also, they have a new check-in system because of everything that's going on with the pandemic and distancing. And they have a kind of a small shop, but it's a very busy shop. They have a new check-in system, okay? Like a lot of places are going to, they'll check in on the iPad. They'll get your number. If you see a big line, don't panic because it's usually warm out and people are waiting. But you can sit in your car, you can drive around because they will text you about 5 minutes ahead of you being able to come in. And then you can come in, shop as long as you want. Take your time. Nobody's going to rush you. Just check in to Not Just Guns when you get there, and all will happen from there. It's a beautiful thing, and there's some great people. Again, much like our friends at Conquest Sense, much like our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and especially you, the listener of this show that we've been doing for so long that it boggles my mind that they're allowed to be here, but very thankful to be here as well. My good friend David A. Rose up in the Traverse City area joining us again for the closeout and the start. Closeout of 2020, beginning of 2021. We want to talk ice fishing. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Brian Brosdahl. Of course, he lives in Minnesota right next to the Arctic Circle, as David said in a previous conversation. And they, at that time, had 7 inches of ice. He's probably got 3 feet by now. But David A. Rose joins me right now from Wild Fishing. How are you, sir?
You know, I am good. We've got snow up here in the northwest lower corner of Michigan here. And, yeah, it's, you know, 5-6 inches on the ground and snowmobile time, ice fishing almost time. I went and checked some lakes today, and we can talk about that. But, yeah, things are starting to look a lot like winter.
Lower part of the state here, David, we've not had that cold weather that we need without the insulation of snow on the ice. We had, prior to this show, we had a little bit of snow in the Lansing area that turned to rain and smush, and that is not a good combination when you want ice. It may look like you have ice, but it's probably the worst possible thing you could do is try and go out on this.
Yeah, it's when... You know, we're in the snow belt up here in the Traverse City area, basically. I mean, we get lake effect. In fact, I've had people walk by me one time. You could tell they were obviously not from the area, and it was snowing. And they're like, is this real snow or lake effect snow?
Is there a difference?
It was lake effect. I go, well, this is lake effect. And they're like, oh, okay. So I guess the foot we got that night didn't count, but, yeah.
Did you tell him to taste it? Because Lake Effect has a bit more of a tart taste because it's got to fly over Chicago.
I will do that next time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry, David. That's just funny. I don't think I've ever heard somebody say that before.
Yeah. Well, you know, the snow we got last night, 4 to 5 inches, was actually real snow. It was a system. It wasn't just Lake Effect.
Not like soap flakes or spud flakes like they used on the Brady Bunch. This is the real snow.
This is the real deal. That's right. I'm actually going to have to start my snowblower when I get home. But, no, it's beginning to look a lot like winter. We have many different kinds of lakes up here in this corner. I mean, obviously, we got the Great Lakes, and, of course, they're not even thought about frozen. We have larger lakes, oligotrophic in nature. That's a big science word, meaning very young, very deep, very, when I say young in the evolutionary scale, pretty young in hard bottom, cold water. Those aren't even... sometimes those lakes, like Torch Lake or whatnot, they don't even freeze because they're so big and deep. We have mesotrophic lakes, which is that middle-aged lake. Some of those are starting to skim over, but now we've got a layer of snow on top. And then we have eutrophic lakes or that are about to be eutrophic. And those are those very old lakes. They got a lot of silt and they're shallow. I checked one of those lakes yesterday and drove by, and I knew it had been skimming over for a while. And I saw a guy walking off the ice. He'd had a spud, and he was just out there checking things. And he made a couple hundred yards out and turned around. He says, yeah, it's about 2.5 inches. And he goes, and only an inch of that is solid ice. Oh. The rest was kashmudge. And then so today, after that 4 to 5 inches, I said, well, I got to go check it out and see what's happening. Oh, you could just tell that that weight of that snow pushed down on that ice, water seeping up through what little ice there was. It looked like somebody did. They were pulling their ice fishing shanty, their portable shanty. They made it out about 20 feet, and you could see where their spud went through, and then you could tell where they did the curly shuffle and turned right around and skadoodled right off that lake.
So yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, David.
I was going to say, so it went from on the verge of really being safe to, yeah, not safe.
There's just no other safe way to go out and do that. That's what's so difficult and sad about the about ice fishing and what causes accidents every year is that, look, we all want to get out. I get it. And first ice is usually great to get out and fish on. I'm not willing to be fish food. That's just it. I'm sorry.
Yep. I've been to two funerals of friends who went through the ice and didn't come back. And one of them was on a lake right up here where I was just telling you about. I mean, I went to his funeral and they buried him with his tip-ups in his casket. I mean, there's nothing more sobering right there. Boom. Yeah. And this guy was safe and he knew what he was doing and loved to fish. He was probably in his mid-50s at the time and yeah, he didn't make it, you know? And so it was just, we'll just put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult. So please, I mean, look, if you're going to go out, I mean, give yourself a little extra time. Don't go alone, and let somebody know what you're doing at all times, and be safe. I don't know how else to put it, but you know, between you and Bro and some of the other Mark Martin and other guys have been on here talking about ice fishing, we could go for hours and hours about safety, but we can't reach everybody. So
Right. Just
do the best that you can and be smart and be safe. The fish, believe it or not, will be there long after we're gone. They're going to be there. So. But let's talk about that early ice. We finally get a good, safe ice out there. Why is it, I mean, look, their food sources don't go away. They change a little bit. But why is it that the action for anglers always seems to be just crazy at the very beginning?
Yeah, the very beginning and the very end, last ice, too. And I have talked to a lot of biologists. I've written about this for 3 decades. It boils down to first ice, those fish are still kind of where they were the day before it froze. So there's still weeds that are alive. A lot of the weed beds had died off, but there's still oxygen in the water. So the fish are very active. The water it's not super frigid cold. But what happens is, you know, we start getting snow, we start getting thicker ice. Now the sunlight penetration really knocks down and weeds start to die off. They actually produce noxious gases. And fish, they just can't breathe. They become very lethargic. The water's extremely cold. And fish, freshwater fish, you know, they're cold-blooded. Their body temperature is going to be the same as whatever their surroundings are. So if it's 33 degrees where they're at, that's where they're at, and they get very lethargic. So it's an oxygen depletion. And so that's, you get that midwinter blahs. You get that midwinter blues. But in the spring, let's try that again, in the early winter at first ice, again, oxygen in the water, fish are still pretty active. They haven't seen a lot of angler activity, too. So, you know, maybe they got little pea brains and they forgot what a lure looks like and all that stuff. But and the same with last ice, the oxygenation.
All right. We're going to talk more with David A. Rose here in a couple of minutes. Find out what's going on and what we can expect for the ice fishing season of 2021. Believe me, it's going to get here. Just be patient. I'm Duran Martinez. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, Back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Find us on Facebook as well. And for those of you who want to hit the tip uptown in Houghton Lake this year, their button, I love their button for 2021, is you cannot stop tradition. You can't. And this COVID-19 thing is not going to stop the tradition of Tip Uptown. They have moved it back a little bit. Tip Uptown USA will take place in February on the 27th and the 28th due to all the things that are going on, social distancing and the like. And you know what? I hope that regardless, I honestly hope that they do this and keep the tradition alive. I mean, they've had instances where the ice has been bad. They move it to land. That's cool, but let's not let this thing stop such a great event. And something that means so much to the community as well and to the state that travel all over. So the 27th and 28th of 2021, February, is going to be Tip Uptown USA in Houghton Lake, and you can't stop a tradition is their button, their little collectible button that they put out every year. And don't end up in the Tip Uptown jail. I've been close, but I didn't get that far. David A. Rose, an absconder of justice, probably not, but ice fisherman he is. How are you, buddy?
You know, I couldn't be better. How's that?
Good. You're not in the Tip Uptown jail.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a real thing, believe it or not. If you don't have a button on, you'll get put in the jail for, what, a half hour or something like that, and then you go free, as Denny Lemieux says in Slapshot. But let's talk about ice. Talk about the first ice. You know, you talked about some of the benefits of the green weeds, and that's something that, you know, we hear a lot about. Are if you can find the green weeds, you'll find the fish. There's oxygen, there's food sources there, and being around them is kind of a good thing when it comes to ice fishing.
Oh, it's a great thing. You always want to try and find still live weeds, and that's the nice thing about underwater cameras and stuff. You know, now we've got AquaViews and Markhams and all that kind of stuff. You can lower a camera down. And actually, you know, if you're marking some stuff on your sonar, you can spin that little camera around and go, oh, well, there's some weeds. And you can tell if they're dying or dead, you know, laying on bottom. And again, when they're dying like that, they're actually producing a gas that robs the water of oxygen. So just because you go to your favorite weed bed doesn't mean that favorite weed bed's still alive and still holding fish. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. But, yeah, you want to find the most oxygenated water you can. Sometimes it's, you know, near a spring or something like that. And of course, ice safety, you got to be careful. Well, ice can get thin in any kind of moving water situation, but that's the kind of stuff we're looking for.
David A. Rose, our guest here. And of course, small, you know, we have new things like tungsten lures, things of that nature, because they're really not, unless, you know, you're tip up fishing, you're not, your presentation is not going to be very big.
Oh, no, it's not going to be big at all, because you got to imagine, I don't care if it's a panfish of some kind, perch, bluegill, crappie, whatever. I don't care if it's a walleye or a bass. Even pike, their food sources are extremely tiny. The majority of what they eat is very tiny. Could be anything from larvae, like, oh, the cat, you know, different nymphs and stuff like that, or bloodworms. And I know Bro talks about the bloodworm, and that's a huge thing, bloodworms. I mean, it's the infantile stage of the midge, and they're feeding on zooplankton. And so, yeah, you've got this whole food chain going on down there. And you think about a minnow, a pretty darn big food source for any kind of fish. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, tiny often takes it.
Now let's talk a little bit about tip ups, because it's always a very basic premise. You don't need like the fanciest tip up you can get your hands on. You can buy some. I mean, I sell the heck out of those old wooden ones, you know, made in pawpaw or wherever they're made, and they get the job done. I mean, it's not a big rocket science, but you know, but placement is everything with those.
Oh, there's a little bit of science to it. Again, we're talking about, you know, being very near structure, whether it's rocks or wood or the weeds, like we were talking about. But a lot of people think, oh, you got to be right on bottom. Well, that's very not the case. You know, I've been to just about every Mark Martin ice fishing school that there has been. And, you know, I remember a buddy of mine, he wanted to catch a big walleye, and it started getting to be in the afternoon. We're on Little Bay to Knock during one of these schools. And we all just said, bring, I mean, he was in like 50-some feet of water. No, bring it up to 20 feet. And everybody, some people, you know, this is when we didn't realize how much fish suspend in the water column. And sure enough, 20 feet down over 50 foot of water, he ended up with about a 12-pound walleye.
Wow. Because,
so, I was going to say placement. Yep, placement is everything.
Fish see more up, they see upward rather than outward, correct?
Correct. They have binocular vision. So each eye kind of focuses to the side, to the front, and up. Very rarely do they go down to eat something. It can happen, but it's a rarity. And, you know, like minnows, you think about it, a minnow, let's say a shiner, they have a real white belly and they're kind of silverish, and their top is darker, and that's part of the camouflage. You look down over a dark bottom, and the minnows won't show up. So they're always looking up. Those fish are always looking up, and they're, you know, you say, wow, that's 30 feet off bottom, but think about how long 30 feet really is. It's really not that far. So instead of horizontally, just imagine it vertically, and a fish might be only 5 foot off bottom, but oh, there's a minnow up there 20 feet away, and they'll go up there and chew on it.
Yeah, it's something that I learned early on when it came to tippos, because I thought I had to be way down there like everything else was. It wasn't the case, you know, because fish do see up. What about, like, additives? I mean, aside from just the bait, I'm probably going to get the name of this thing wrong, like a wobble dot or something, that I put on the line to add a little attraction to what's going on with the minnow.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's all sorts of different things out there. Scent is very important, and that's why minnows and live bait work so well, because it's they're giving off a scent of their own. Lots of different products out there. You can squirt some scent on and, you know, run it up and down your line a little bit to add some of that flavor in the water, because fish just don't use their eyes. They have great olfactory, you know, they got noses, they can taste, all that kind of stuff wafting through the water. And then, there, like you say, there are some things out there with little sparklies in them and whatnot. You can add to the line above, and it just kind of adds a little flash, a little something. I know here we're always trying to have the lightest line possible so the fish can't see the line, but then here we are adding an attractant that has sparklies in it to get the fish's attention.
David A. Rose, our guest here on Wild Michigan. And, you know, Dave, that's one thing I've always appreciated about you is your technical terms. Sparklies.
I act like I know what I'm doing.
Well, you know what? It keeps it, you know, simple for me. And I appreciate that, because there might be one or two other people out there that have my same skill set, God forbid. But, you know, it's just nice to know that we can just talk to anybody on the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all basic humans. Our number one goal is to go out ice fishing and have fun. Number two is, hope to catch some more fish. So, yeah, you know, there's all sorts of little things like that, and we're just all simple folk wanting to catch some fish.
Absolutely. And real quickly, before I forget, my good friend Andy Eagle has been fishing open water on the Tittabawassee over in Saginaw, doing fairly good on the walleye. His report is he got four but couldn't get number five to close out the deal this week. But the open water, the walleye still doing well there. David, as always, we appreciate your time and your help. And look for him in all the finer publications for the outdoors. David, appreciate you, buddy.
Not a problem. I appreciate being here.
All right, man. More coming your way. I'm Duran Martinez. You're listening to Wild Michigan, brought to you by Conquest Scents, not just guns, and United Deer Farmers of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.